Seven cold stones in a storm. Still, silent, unmoving. Seven sweat-shrouded faces of a first assault team of Marines headed into a hot zone, each deep in prayer, dreams, memories, hope, all but one deep in dread. The rhythmic tumbling thunder of churning helicopter blades tore out a ragged tattoo from the indolent blue sky. Hot wind coursed through the chopper from the empty hatches where doors would be if this was a civilian bird. The sharp stank of steel and lead-penetrating aluminum, magnesium, and titanium, exotic metal alloys meeting at supersonic speed, these bullets ripped into our chopper. We perched, small and shrunken, on our helmets to imagine ourselves less of a target. The machine gunner returned fire with the guttural drone of his weapon into the tree line. Sizzling hot brass and gun smoke swirled through the confines of our chopper. The pilot engaged in evasive maneuvers, wrenching the helicopter into extreme pitches as we stuttered, dropped, lurched, and spun our way to the ground below. Down, down we raced to meet our objective. I looked out at the rolling hills of field and thicket far below, daubs of green in a golden pastoral landscape, then the trail of smoke we followed. When I first saw the Tom Hanks movie Saving Private Ryan, I was immediately brought back to this day, these faces, and the sheer terror of waiting to go into battle. Watching those actors aboard the landing craft just before hitting Omaha Beach, I saw my guys again, the frightened faces of young men barely beyond their schoolboy days who just wanted to go home, all but the one who was already home. I suppose it is much the same for a troop of thespians before the curtain opens, or someone gets a bad case of spelling bee butterflies. Only if you miss a letter in this game, you die. Still, silent, unmoving, we clutched our weapons and awaited our fate. Of these moments, a lifetime of dreams were born. Filing one after the other out of a hovering chopper, we leap onto a once bucolic, low-sloping hill of grass interspersed with a copse of trees and brush in the lower reaches. We were still taking light fire, even though the adjoining tree line was napalmed and strafed by 20-millimeter Vulcan cannons, making it hard for those fellows to concentrate on shooting straight. I looked for cover as we dispersed and moved forward. What I saw were punji stakes, acres of punji stakes, covering the hill. They were embedded in the field, the dry shanks of stiff, razor-sharp bamboo nearly impossible to see in the similarly shaded spans of meadow grass. The punji stakes were perceptible only because they did not sway, swirl, and thrash about in the thrumming wash of wind circling the choppers. A dozen powerful microburst storms emanated from 12 olive-drab aircraft hovering simultaneously over the rolling naps draped in amber. We were no longer like stones, unless it was burning grapeshot being catapulted out of the mouth of an angry cannon. We spewed out of the barrel-round belly of the mechanical beast with a will to live and a need to kill. Even these unimaginably industrious Oriental souls could not blanket the entire hill with punji stakes. We gingerly moved out, following the trails identified by the chopper wash, and the next chopper. We fanned out and moved forward, seeking cover to establish a base of fire to protect incoming troops. I saw a hole. Crouching low, I sprinted toward this godsend of cover. In my impatient elation, I let my legs drop in preparation for a leap to put me clear of enemy fire, at least temporarily out of harm's way. Muscles taut, shoulders low, breath coming hard and short, I moved fast like a 10-year-old little leaguer making a headlong dive to second base even as the ball is hurtling past his peripheral vision into the world of reality. Then I folded up and dropped, letting my knees go limp, damn the spikes. I fell flat to the ground in a heap of web gear and steel, laden with a cumbersome Korean War vintage flak jacket and 50 pounds of ammo, grenades, sea rations, and sundries just at the lip of my newfound hole. I had barely glimpsed into the depths of that hole before aborting my planned leap. I could not see the bottom.